Well, I wanted to begin this morning just talking about that last song that we sang, The Love of God. It was one, and thank you guys for doing that song for us this morning. It was one that I had asked them to do. And it is just such a wonderful song to lead us into our study for the month of August. This month, we're going to be studying about a few different things. And you see that question up on the screen, how powerful is God? That's a thought-provoking question. I hope that that is a thought-provoking question to each one of you. There's a lot of things about God that I have been learning since I was a small child. My parents both became believers in their early 20s and late teens, and they dedicated part of their parenting life to making sure that we understood who God is, that we understood the scriptures. And these are things that I've been learning about since I was young. And so for many of us, we might look at a study like what we're going to be doing and saying, well, I've known this stuff for a long time. We're going to be looking back at a study on God's character. Who is God? How powerful is God? Where is God? How much does he know? These are the kinds of things that we're going to be studying over the next few weeks. But this is a good study for us. And we might be asking the question, why should we study about God's character? If we have been learning about these things for all of our lives, why should we go back and study about the character of God? So I got an email a couple of weeks ago, and there are emails like this out there. All of you have probably received an email like this. And it was one of those that you can tell just by the subject line that it was false, that it was fake, that it was phishing. They were trying to get some information out of me that I was not about to give to them. And the subject line on this particular email, it kind of made me laugh. These are the exact words. I'm going to read them to you because I could never get this out without actually reading these words. It says, "Your MacBook is order payment has been successfully." That's the subject line of this email that I got. And number one, I am not a Mac guy. And so I never would have ordered a MacBook in the first place. But then reading through that sentence, I'm like, no, my payment has not been successfully. I never paid for anything like that. So looking at an email like this, even just looking at the subject line, you along with me, I think you would have read that subject line and wouldn't have even bothered opening the email. I was curious, so I opened the email, and it was just as bad, all that was in there. But the reason why we know, looking at a thing like that, that it's not real is because we just know. We know the kind of language that is used. We know the kinds of things that people are out there doing, trying to trick us, trying to get our information. And we know that things like that are not genuine. But I have to ask this question as we begin our study in the character of God this morning. How well do you know God? We have so much information that we are trying to process on a daily basis. Just as an example, one of the things that I read about this week is that in the advertising business, their goal is to get between 6 and 10,000 ads in front of each and every person, each and every one of us. And how long do you think it takes them to do that? A year? A week? No, that is the figure for each and every day, believe it or not. That's their goal, is to get that many things out in front of you. And they're pushing all of this information on us. And our world is pressing all sorts of information on us. And guess what? They are also pressing their concept and their understanding of who they want us to believe God is on us as well. They're pressing that information on us. And so as we are having all of this information come in and being pressed in our lives and being pressed into our minds, how do we know who God really is? How do we know what is genuine? And that is why we need to come back to studies like studies on the character of God. On top of that, the world that we live in is not who should be influencing us about what we think about God. The world that is pressing all this information in on us should not be the influencing factor on what we believe. So who is that source? What is that source that we should be looking to about the truth of who God is? I want to look at a few passages this morning. We're going to be in a lot of different places in Scripture this morning, so I'm going to put the references up on the screen. These first two I'm going to just read to you in Proverbs chapter 9, verse 10. Listen to these words. It says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So where do we get the knowledge of the Holy One? We get it from His Word. That's what He has given us to understand who He is. Understanding and wisdom in our lives are rooted in the character of God. It is important for us to be studying about who God is so that we can have true understanding and true wisdom in our own lives. So we go to the Word of God and find knowledge of the Holy One. And through that, we have understanding. The next one is Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 23 and 24. This is what it says. It says, "Thus says the Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom, and let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches, but let him who boasts boast of this, that he understands and knows me." What an amazing statement that is. There's nothing in this world that we should be boasting in. But if we do boast, let's boast of understanding of God. That verse, it goes on to say that I am the Lord who exercises loving kindness. And here's a big one in the world right now: justice and righteousness on the earth. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. Do you know that there is no worldly pursuit that matches the pursuit of knowing God? So what should we be spending our time doing? Should we be spending our time in becoming mighty and bragging about being mighty? Should we spend our time becoming popular and bragging about being popular in this world? Should we spend our time gaining riches and bragging about those riches? No, what we should be spending our time on is the pursuit of knowing God. And there's a lot of other reasons why we should study about who God is, but just know this. The Almighty God of the universe, who created everything, He wants us to know Him better. So let's study about God. So during this month, we're going to be concentrating on what people would probably consider to be the big ones, right? The big characteristics of God. And that's not to say that all of God's character is not important, because it is. But I want to close in on these few things during this month because they really are foundational building blocks for us to understand who God is, for us to even understand the rest of the characteristics of God. So I want to start out this morning with a little bit of a test. You guys came here for a test, right? That's why I come to church. We're going to get some basic definitions down of the things that we're going to be talking about over the next few weeks. So what does it mean, in very simple words, as few words as you can describe this, what does it mean that God is omnipotent? That He's all powerful, right? So you can think of that word potent as power, right? Omnipotent means that God is all powerful. What about this next one? That God is omniscient. That He's all knowing, right? Okay, and the next one is what? That He's omnipresent, right? And what does that mean? That God is everywhere. That God is everywhere at once. And then there's another one that we're going to be talking about as well. And this is not an omni, but this word describes something about God, that God is immutable. Do you guys know what that one means? That He's unchanging. So these are the kinds of characteristics of God that we're going to be studying about over the next few weeks. These are four parts, and we're going to get into the first part of one of them this morning. Why does it matter that God is all powerful? We had that question before. How powerful is God? Well, God is described in Scripture as being all powerful. And why does it matter that God is all powerful? Why does it matter that we even learn that God is all powerful? And the first thing we're going to be looking at this morning is because no matter how desperate we feel in our circumstances in life, we know that God really can do anything. right? We know that God can do anything. So each time that we come to this characteristic of God, I'm going to have a name of God for you guys to write down. Because there are names of God that help us to understand and be reminded of his nature. There are names of God that are there that transform us each and every time that we hear the name, that we remember the name of God and think about it. And these names of God also are useful for us to be able to go out and teach others about who God is as well. And the first one that I want to get to this morning is this name El Elyon. It's a beautiful name of God, and it means the Most High. God is the Most High. I want to turn, if you would turn with me, to Daniel chapter 4, speaking about how God is the Most High. El Elyon, God the Most High. God is sovereign. God is all powerful. Daniel chapter 4. Now, this requires a little bit of explanation. Nebuchadnezzar had lived a good part of his life defying God. He had defied God. He had set up a statue for people to worship, and he expected them to worship him instead of God. And we remember the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and how God took care of them as they obeyed him. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had come to a place in his life where God had it with him. God had enough, and he gave him a dream, and he said, this is what's going to happen to you in your life. And somebody came along and described what the dream meant. And I want to pick up in verse 33. It says, immediately the word concerning Nebuchadnezzar was fulfilled. And this is what the dream was about. This is what the dream that God gave to him was about, and this is how it was fulfilled. It says, and he was driven away from mankind and began eating grass like cattle. And his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until his hair had grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. And then verse 34, Nebuchadnezzar responds to this period in his life. It says, but at the end of that time, at the end of that period, I, Nebuchadnezzar, raised my eyes toward heaven, and my reason returned to me, and I blessed the Most High, El Elyon. I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him who lives forever, for his dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom endures from generation to generation. And then verse 35, all the inhabitants of the earth are accounted as nothing, but he does according to his will in the host of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and no one can ward off his hand, and no one can say to him, what have you done? Nebuchadnezzar comes to this realization after he had spent this amount of time in his life building himself up and wanting people to worship him. And then God sent him out for this time of punishment, really. And he came back with a realization about who God really is. And we see this amazing transformation in the things that he says right here. He recognizes that Nebuchadnezzar is not the Most High. Even though there was a time in his life when he considered himself to be that. And there's maybe those times in our lives when we consider ourselves to be the most important one in the room. But even if you're alone in a room, you're not the most important one in the room, because who's there with you? God, the Most High. He is the Most High. There's another name that points to the omnipotence of God, and that is the name El Shaddai. And this name very literally means God Almighty. So who's the most powerful one? Who is the all-powerful one? It is El. It is God. El Shaddai is God Almighty. In understanding the fact that God is all-powerful, something that we need to know about him and something that is taught very heavily in Scripture is that God does whatever he wishes. God is all powerful and he has the power to do whatever he wishes. We hinted a little bit at the sovereignty of God, and that means that God can do whatever he wants because he reigns over all. There's a few passages of scripture that we're going to look at here this morning. If you guys want to turn to Psalm 135, this is where we're going to be for just a little bit. We'll come back to this passage of scripture over and over. Psalm 135, starting in verse 5, it says, "For I know that the Lord is great, and that our Lord is above all gods. Whatever the Lord pleases, he does, in heaven and in earth, in the seas and in all the deep." So what does God do in his existence? God does what he pleases. And he can do that because he's God. He can do that because he is sovereign. He is the most high God who reigns over not just us as individuals, although he does, but he reigns over everything. He reigns over everything from the smallest minute detail that we can see in the most powerful microscope. And even beyond that, he reigns over that all the way out to the farthest reaches of the universe. And does it stop there? Absolutely not. Because if God is all powerful, it means that he is infinitely powerful beyond the stretches of our universe. God reigns over all. I want to go to Job, and I'll just read this for you this morning. Job chapter 42. And this is at the very end of Job, where Job has gone through all the things that the Lord allowed Satan to take him through. He took away his family. He took away his riches. He took away his property. He took away everything. And Job remained there in front of God. And right before God restored all those things back to his life, this is what Job says to God. Job 42, verse 2, he says, "I know that you can do all things and that no plan is impossible for you." So a man who was in this extremely desperate situation, as far as mankind is concerned, where he lost everything. You hear stories about people losing everything, right? Well, Job trumps those stories. He really did lose everything. But he stands before God in recognition of who God is, that no plan is impossible for him. Why? Because God is all powerful and he does whatever he wishes. The next one is Isaiah 14:24. It says in these verses, I'll read these to you, "The Lord of armies has sworn, saying, 'Certainly, just as I have intended, so it has happened. And just as I have planned, so it will stand.'" And then in verse 27, it says, "For the Lord of armies has planned, who can frustrate it? And as for his stretched out hand, who can turn it back?" Now, in context, very specifically, he's talking about the judgment that was going to come against the Assyrian people, against the Assyrians. But when we read through these verses, we have to understand that the same thing that he said then holds true to our lives. It holds true to every moment of our lives, of every person who has ever lived in the past, who is ever living right now, who will ever live in the future. God says that he is all powerful and that he can do whatever he wishes. Nobody can go against God and turn back his stretched out hand. Nobody can go against God and frustrate the plans that God has made. Nobody can go against God and change what he has planned, because God is God and God's will stand. We have to understand that God will do whatever he wishes, that he can and he will. And in this, we also need to understand that God has powerful over everything that is physical. In Psalm 135, we go back there, and this is verse 7. Psalm 135, verse 7. It says, "He causes the vapors," or "he causes the clouds to ascend from the ends of the earth, who makes lightning for the rain, who brings forth wind from his treasuries." This speaks to the physical things that we experience in nature. God has control over all these things. And we even see through the stories in the New Testament where Jesus goes out with his disciples onto the sea and there's a raging storm that's happening and they're desperate in their situation. And Jesus speaks to the sea and calms it. Now we understand that he has this power because he is God. But God has power over all that is physical. And that's not just the things that we experience in nature that come from outside of us. God has power over all that is physical that is going on within our bodies. There are things that we face because of the fall. There are diseases and all these things that we face in life. But you know what? God has control over all those things. We face these things and we don't understand them sometimes, these physical ailments that we have, these diseases that we might have in our lives. But you know what? These things are all things that God uses to point back to himself. God has power over all that is physical. We also understand from Scripture that God has power over everything that is situational. I want to go back to Psalm 135 again and start in verse 8. These are some situations that he talks about that God has control over. It says, he smote the firstborn of Egypt, both of man and beast. He sent signs and wonders into your midst, O Egypt, upon Pharaoh and all his servants. He smote many nations and slew many kings, mighty kings, Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and all the kingdoms of Canaan. And he gave their land as a heritage to his people, Israel. So God came in and he had power over all these things that were situational. God had a plan in place, right? To give the land of Israel to the people of Israel as a heritage for them. And he smote all of those kings. No matter how powerful or how mighty those kings thought that they were, maybe they thought that they were the most high, like Nebuchadnezzar seemed to have thought. But no matter how mighty they thought that they were, God came in and he removed these kings. Because situationally speaking, he had power over this. He had a plan for this in place. He had a plan to give this land to Israel. And then Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. You can turn there with me if you'd like. Isaiah 46, verses 9 through 11. That God has power over all that is situational. It says, remember the former things long past. For I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is no one like me. Declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, my purpose will be established and I will accomplish all my good pleasure. God has a plan in place for the situations that we face in our lives. Again, it might be like the physical things that we face in our lives. We run into circumstances that we don't understand, but we need to live in those circumstances to the glory of God. Why? Because God is all powerful and he has something in those circumstances for you. We also understand that not only does God have power over all that is physical and all that is situational, but God has power over all that is spiritual. I want to go to Matthew chapter 19. Matthew chapter 19, you can turn there with me as well. This is the story of the rich young ruler where Jesus is teaching his disciples. He's teaching his disciples that there is nothing, not even man's spiritual eternity, that is impossible for God. Okay, so starting in verse 17, I'll just start back in verse 16 at the beginning of this section. It says, and someone came to him and said, teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may obtain eternal life? And he said to him, why are you asking me about what is good? There is only one who is good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. Then he said to him, which ones? And Jesus said, you shall not commit murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your father and mother. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. And the young man said to him, all these things I have kept. What am I still lacking? And Jesus said to him, if you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But when the young man heard this statement, he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. See, Jesus knew the heart of the rich young ruler. Jesus knew that his heart would have a hard time letting go of his riches because they were so great. The thing that had power over his life, the thing that seemed to have sovereignty and rule in his life, Jesus spoke to that thing and he said, sell all of it and give to the poor. What Jesus was pointing out here is that there's nothing that man can do to gain eternal life on his own. He goes on in verse 23, teaching his disciples, and it says, "And Jesus said to his disciples, truly I say to you, it is hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. And again, I say to you, it is easier for a camel," I love Jesus' picture here, "it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." And when the disciples heard this, they were very astonished, and they said, then who can be saved? And looking at them, Jesus said to them, with people, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Please, please don't misquote that verse. Because that verse is talking, yes, we understand that God can do all things. We understand that all things are possible with God, but he's speaking very specifically about our spiritual state. With man, it is not possible for us to gain eternal life. But with God, what's possible? All things. Eternal life is possible. He has control and he has power over all that is spiritual. Go back with me just a few chapters to Matthew chapter 9. And again, this is a story about Jesus and what he was teaching. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 7. All right, it says, getting into a boat, Jesus crossed over the sea and he came to his own city. And they brought him to a paralytic lying on a bed. Seeing their faith, he said to the paralytic, take courage, son, and here's the key, your sins are forgiven. And some of the scribes, they said to themselves, this fellow blasphemes. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why are you thinking evil in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up and walk? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, get up and pick up your bed and go home. And he got up and went home. But the crowd saw this and they were awestruck and they glorified God who had given such authority to men. Jesus had the authority. Again, we understand this because we know that Jesus is God. He had the authority to forgive sin. Do you have the authority to forgive sin? Do I have the authority to forgive sin? We have the authority to forgive one another, relationally speaking, but as far as our spiritual state and as far as the consequences of sin, we can't forgive that because God is the only one who can do that. And he does this, and he can do this because he is all powerful. So if God has the power to do whatever he wishes, if he has the power over everything that is physical, over everything that is situational, over everything that is spiritual, what does that mean to our lives? This is why it's important for us to study the Word of God. This is why it's important for us to study these things that might seem so basic as the characteristics of God. That God is all powerful, that God is omnipotent, if you want to say it that way. What difference does that make to our lives? Let's think of the physical here for just a minute. If you have physical situations in your life that you have no control over, if you have medical issues, or if you have hurt and pain, and Don and I were talking about this morning, that you sleep less when you get older because your bones just hurt. You know, if you have these physical situations and you just don't understand what's going on, does it make a difference to you to know that God is all powerful? That God is all powerful over all those things that are physical. What about your circumstances? What about the things that are situational in your lives? There are things that are very difficult for us to deal with as human beings that we face. Maybe those are relationship issues that we have. Maybe those are job issues that we have. Maybe those are family issues that we have. Maybe we're running into a place where we're going to lose our house or some other possession that we have. These circumstantial things, these situational things, and we might just dwell on those things. But does it make a difference to know and to understand that God is all powerful? I hope that it does. To know that God is all powerful and that he has power over all the things that are situational. And then this is the biggest one. Our spiritual lives. Are there areas where we struggle with sin? And I think that we can all nod to this question. There are things that I struggle with, spiritually speaking, on a daily and on a weekly basis. And I know that there are those of you out there, probably all of us, that struggle with spiritual issues. We may struggle with a particular sin in our lives. This might be a new struggle, or it might be something that has gone on for a long time. But what we have to understand is that God has power over all that is spiritual. Those areas in our lives where we really feel that Satan is attacking him, believe me, I face these things again on a daily and a weekly basis, where Satan is attacking and he's trying to bring me down. He's trying to bring you down. Guess what? Those are spiritual things. And we understand that the war that we have is not against flesh and blood, but is against the principalities of the air. It is this war with spiritual things that we have. And we can just lie down and give up, or we can understand that God is all powerful. And does that make a difference in your life to understand that over all the things that are spiritual, all those things that you're facing in your life, in any of those areas, does it help to know that God is all powerful? Does it help to know that God is sovereign, that he reigns over all? This is a point where we're going to stop for this week, but it's a point of reflection for us. It's a point for us to understand that God is trying to teach us something, that God is trying to teach us that he is all powerful. And so we have that question, how powerful is God? Just put the word in there. All. He is all powerful. He is infinitely powerful. And he wants that to make a difference in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds and in our spirits. So take some time to go through these passages that we've talked about this morning. Take some time this week to continue to explore, because we don't have time in 30 or 40 or 50 minutes on a Sunday morning to cover everything that the Bible says about how God is all powerful, right? And so we're going to take next week to do some of that as well, but there's so much more to it. And so I would encourage you to take some time this week to get into the Word and to start studying about how God is all powerful. Let's pray. Father God, we are so grateful to you, and we thank you, Lord, that you are who you are. Lord, that we don't have to make you into something. We don't have to make you into anything. Because you are who you are. Lord, we are so thankful that you are all powerful and that that reaches every point in our lives, that reaches every part of our lives. Lord, and I pray that you would help us to be recognizing that. You would help us to recognize that more and more, that when we face something that is physical, when we face something that is situational, and when we face something that is spiritual, that we understand that you have power over all of those things. God, thank you for your love for us and for demonstrating it to us in this way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.